Local heroes, really good neighbors, some celebrations, and getting that Christmas tree for the County of Anderson. All this and more on the Anderson Observer Podcast, news from people you trust. This week, we look at 25 years of AIM, that's Anderson Interfaith Ministries. We talked to some amazing gentlemen who are helping the next generation of young men learn what it's like to be a man. Plus an update on some really big events coming soon in Anderson. But first, it has been a great week in Anderson, and the people on today's podcast are at least some of the reasons why. It can hardly be overstated that last week's thousand-year storm in South Carolina turned out to be maybe one of the worst recorded disasters in the state's history. But in the face of that tragedy, it has been both amazing and heartwarming to see the massive outpouring of support from fellow South Carolinians. Not only did churches and other charitable organizations step in and do what they could to help those left homeless or facing other huge challenges from the floods and the storm, but Anderson County stepped up. Kudos to everybody who did anything, who gave money, time, water, donated anything else to this effort, but I'd be amiss if I didn't take a couple of extra minutes to extend that huge thank you to Anderson County employees who've been on site in some of the areas hardest hit since before the storm had even ended, so they went down while it was still storming. Many of those folks are still on the ground down there in the Lowcountry, on the coast, Midlands, Columbia. And you may remember we talked last week to Anderson County's Director of Emergency Preparedness, Taylor Jones, from one of those sites last week. But well over a week after it's over, they're still down there helping neighbors in need, and we just want to say we really appreciate it. Because that kind of effort is not common, and I hope we don't forget that fact. Our Emergency Preparedness Department is nationally recognized as a model for others to follow. In fact, they send teams down here all the time to see what we're doing differently. And that's one of the reasons they were ready to hit the ground running down to the Midlands and to the coast and all the places that were in need well before the rivers had crested and before the floods had stopped flooding. They were prepared. I talked to Anderson County Administrator Rusty Burns, who could not say enough good things about the commitment and sacrifice of all Anderson County employees and citizens who've spent the last 10-plus days living with those in conditions where they're devastated by the storm. Okay, we're talking to Anderson County Council. We're not talking to Anderson County Council. We're talking to Anderson County Administrator Rusty Burns about all of our folks who have been down in the flood relief area. Some of them have been down there over a week. Yeah. Last week we talked to Taylor Jones about, you know, the initial on the ground when it hit. They went right down there with teams, he and Matthew Littleton, some of the others. I can't mention everybody by name. But we've had a lot of other folks go down, including assessors and people helping distribute water. Tell me a little bit about that and when they're still down there.
We've had our emergency preparedness people down there even before the worst part hit. Taylor Jones has been down there. Taylor got to come back for a little bit yesterday. Matthew Littleton, Steve McDade. They've been doing some very hard work in some very difficult positions. And we're had people from the assessor's office, Mr. Freeman's office, doing damage assessment. We have people from Parks and Recreation, Sharon Nicometto and Matt Shell, giving out water. Chief Magistrate Nancy Devine went down there last weekend, and she spent the whole weekend down there helping people. And we just have people from Roads and Bridges who are down there. You know, one of the things that was...
Angie Stringer's down there.
Angie's been down there for some time. And one of the big things, one of the big problems is the water and sewer. And so Derek Singleton and some of our sewer guys are down there helping out. So Anderson County has responded to help our neighbors, but we always do. But we're not just in the Columbia, Richland County area. We've had people go to Manning. We've had people go to Colleton County. We've had them go all over. And I'm just proud that we're able to do this. I'm very proud of them. Council supports their efforts 110%. And it's just being a good neighbor. South Carolina's not that, we're not a large state. And so there's a lot of neighborliness still around here. And, you know, we would expect, although that's not the reason, but we would expect when we have problems, people will respond to us. And well, that seems to be the South Carolina way.
Last week when I was talking to emergency preparedness, they said they mentioned the county council and you and the sheriff. They said that any time another county in this state just said, we need help, y'all say go.
That's exactly right. We don't think about it.
Right. And that not only does it serve them well, but doing that actually serves us well, because when we're ready for disasters here because we've done on-the-ground stuff rather than just exercises, mm-hmm. and that it obviously serves both purposes. It helps our people.
But, Greg, that's a very interesting point you brought up. But hey, I know that we have the best emergency preparedness group in the state, if not the Southeast.
People from all over the country come in here and see what we're doing.
And people from all over the country come here because they are that good. But we do a lot of dry exercises, as you well know. And sometimes some people say, well, there they are playing war and doing this again. But, you know, it's always funny that they always, when there's a disaster somewhere, they always seem to call us.
Right.
And as you pointed out, when we're getting training on what to do, I mean, I had a meeting yesterday with Taylor Jones around 5 o'clock, and what we were doing, we were looking at ways we could do things better that he had learned while he was down there, in such things as debris removal. Should we work with industries? And that was a very key point. We have some people here who who do a lot of good work, but we need to make sure that the Walgreens and the others, that they're possibly open purchasing contracts, not for us to use, but for other people to use, that when they need supplies, bang, it's already set up. I mean, people don't know this, and you know how First Quality doesn't like publicity.
Right.
They just don't like good publicity.
Or advertising.
Or advertising. But I can assure you that they had truck after truck after truck going down there delivering paper towels, diapers, which were severely needed, and toilet paper, which was severely needed. So we just need to try to get that organized. And again, that's what we've learned from being down there.
And we were fortunate not to get hit, so we could go.
We were very fortunate not to get hit right now. And we have talked to every town. And if we haven't talked to the mayor, we've talked to the town clerk, or we've talked to the public works director. Please tell us what damage you sustained.
Right.
So we're trying to put together a master list. Holt's doing this. And if we reach the threshold, then we can apply for reimbursement. It's a fact that the southern part of the county had more issues than the northern part of the county. So we're trying to get a handle on that to see where we are in terms of local damage. But once again, you know, when this happened, we'd already removed or cut down 50 trees before Monday morning.
Right.
And then when people started calling again, you know, so we've been in recovery mode and we've got some things to do, but thank goodness we weren't hit.
And I think it's important to point out emergency preparedness. Sometimes people don't recognize that, you know, at least 50% of what they do is being prepared for something they hope never happens.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not like getting ready for the budget, because you know the budget's coming. You got to get it prepared and everybody's going to see it. But if they're doing drills on if we have to evacuate 5 hospitals, you know, in the upstate.
In Saturday, that was a possibility.
Right.
Spartanburg, Greenville, and Anderson, there was a possibility that they were going to be removing the people from the City of Columbia hospitals there, Providence, Baptist, Richland, and move them up here.
Right.
So that was a real thing. But just what you said, you can't get ready when it's happening.
Right. And that, we were ready because I know one of the things, like John Miller went down because we'd had that water issue out at the hospital here and had to figure out already knew how to deal with it, already knew what happened if the water went off. So our emergency preparedness folks brought in other resources because we had done that here already. And that's the kind of thing we're talking about. I mean, it strikes me just because, you know, you don't see them until, like you said, the trouble hits, and then you're ready for them. The rest of the time, everybody's like, well, why are they doing all these? Every time I turn around, there's a helicopter or somebody's doing some sort of exercise. Well, here's
another thing that we learned, okay? This is our debriefing, which will go on for 4 or 5 days, but there were a tremendous amount of faith-based volunteer groups that descended upon that area, okay? We're getting a list of every group, volunteer group, that went down there to help. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure we already got it.
Right.
And the reason for that is there are some things that the government can't do,
right,
that we cannot go on private property. Now, in case of an extreme emergency, we just go.
Right.
But they can. And we're wanting to hold a training exercise once a year for all of these faith-based groups and their volunteer response to emergencies. They were doing things and still doing in the Forest Lake area of Columbia yesterday. They were going in with families into their houses and helping them remove damaged furniture and clothing and all of that. We can't go do that,
right.
But they can. But we can send them there. So, I mean, there's just there's a whole lot of lessons we've already learned from being involved.
And I think just looking at what coverage has come out of it is, while other counties have helped, Anderson has truly taken the lead. I mean, over far bigger counties, you know, you'd think Greenville and stuff, but we are the sort of the jewel in the crown of emergency preparedness in the state of South Carolina. We're ready, and it's really showing up.
Well, council's always supported this effort. Sometimes we have little nicks and things like that. That's council's role. That's their oversight role. But I'm just real proud. And one thing that I stress to all of our people down there, and I guess maybe this is selfish, but I said, you make sure you wear your Anderson County colors.
Well, no.
Everywhere you go,
absolutely.
You make sure that they know that Anderson County is down here helping.
Right.
And
That serves those, as I mentioned earlier, the two roles of, one, they know we're down there and we care, and two, when we have an ice storm or something and need their help, they're like, hey, Anderson was down here helping us.
That's exactly
right.
We
want to show up and help them because they were down here helping us, because we are going to need somebody's help at some point.
And I guarantee you we will.
Yep.
And you might as well do the right thing, help your neighbor. This is real simple stuff.
It is.
Help your neighbor. You know, it's in the Bible. This is not difficult stuff.
We didn't make this up.
No, we didn't make this stuff up. We didn't come up with this radical new idea. Just kind of follow what that we should be doing. We'll be all right.
All right. Well, I definitely wanted to talk to you about, because I think it's one of those, anybody that lives here or is from here should be really proud of all the stuff we've been doing to help our neighbors in the state during this time of real, what's going to be one of, maybe as big a catastrophe or bigger than Hugo when it's all said and done, in terms of people homeless and people out.
And as always, I'm just proud to be able to work with them.
Right. Well, speaking of that, we've got some big things coming up.
Oh, we got
fishing
big
tournament
things
coming up.
Well, let's start with Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Cirque d'Italia is going to be
now,
out at the
Citizen. I did a story
Citizen.
On that, but I don't have a whole lot of information. It's an outdoor thing.
It's outdoors. It's going to be right up there at a kite launch field.
Right.
Right there. That's where they wanted to go. I kind of wanted them out on the front lawn because I thought that would have been real nice. But it involves absolutely no animals except human animals.
Right.
And it is a water circus. So they're going to be doing all kinds of things. The water's going to turn colors and things like that. So we're going to see how that goes. We're excited about that. That's an outdoor event. Sunday, at the same time, Sunday night, we will be having the ABA, American Bass Association. They'll be moving in. They're going to have a big dinner Sunday night. And then that's going to last all week, 200-plus boats out at Green Pond. Everything for the American Bass Anglers event is self-contained here in Anderson County.
And weighing in at the Civic Center.
And weighing in at the Civic Center. So we're very excited about that. Again, another group that we hope to forge long-term relationships with, and we will. And also, then Monday night, dropped in the middle of all this, and by the way, y'all need to host Donald Trump Monday night. So whenever people say, you know, there's nothing going on at the Civic Center, these days there's something always going on at the Civic Center.
And right on the heels of that is the first annual Bluegrass Festival.
Yeah, the first Bluegrass.
Man, if you haven't seen that lineup, that is like the all-star Bluegrass
There's no better Bluegrass lineup anywhere in the country, in the world, than that's going to take place there. I'm sorry,
it's three days.
And
people can camp, and there's also going to be a costume party and games.
And there are going to be some fundraisers that are going to take place, and you're also going to have bluegrass musicians conducting training sessions for younger people who would like to learn about bluegrass. So we're very excited about that.
So the Civic Center slammed up. And right before, I'll back up a bit, the 24th weekend for that, you got the Homeland Park Festival. There's just
Homeland
so many
Park
things
Festival
going on.
Coming up. In a couple of weeks, you've got that going on. Then we have the work day at Kid Venture, which we would have had.
Got rained out, yeah.
But we got rained out, so we've rescheduled that.
We talked to Julia about that.
So we're very excited about that. So, I mean, there's plenty going on. Plus, you've got fall festivals starting all over the county. You've got them starting at Honeypath. You've got the Pendleton Fall Festival. Iva. Everything like that's going on. So you can go around and experience the world and not leave Anderson County.
Now, Kid Venture is going to be nice when they get old.
It's going to be very nice. And as you know, last Sunday we had the 10-year dedication of Barrett's Place, the playground in Pendleton, which I was fortunate enough to be one of the bill captains. But even in that, about 4 years ago, we almost had to completely redo Barrett's Place.
Right.
Same company, same thing, but we had rot in the system. And they have a very active group who maintains that place religiously. And that's what we need here. And we're going to save what we can and add on to what we can with the dog park soon to be coming up. That's another thing.
December still we're looking
December
at?
December still. So that's going to be another big idea and the big thing happening out there. I was out there Sunday just checking on everything. And, you know, you had the Frisbee golf course was slammed. There were people out there doing that. There were people playing a Kid Venture. There were people just laying in the grass, you know, because, hey, it's not raining. We can get out, so.
And then the Christmas parade out there.
And then you have the Christmas parade, the Anderson County unorganized, irregular Christmas parade.
It's so our version of the Denver.
It's our version of Denver, never to take anything from Denver
down.
It's
different time. You can get
different times. And so we're looking forward to that. We're going to have Lights of Hope out there this year at the Environmental
that's
Education
right. First
Center.
Year is out there.
So that's a natural loop, so we're hoping that's going to be good for the people of Anderson. And we're covered up with new industry looking here.
I just want to ask you, what are we looking at? Anything we can talk about that's coming?
Well, we talked last time. I told you there were three international companies looking at Anderson seriously.
They're still seriously?
But now it's five looking at Anderson seriously. I'm not saying they're coming here tomorrow. I'm not saying that.
Have to look first, though.
Yeah, but you've got to look. And now we're getting multiple visits by some of these companies. And what I'm very happy about is that they range all the way from Powdersville to Pendleton to Honeypath and Belton. And that's what's exciting, that we're getting that. And our council's primary focus has always been, let's create jobs. Let's get everybody working.
So, and I'm going to wind all this back around. The other thing that really I think would have to be impressive to these companies coming in is to see how engaged we are in serving the rest of the state with emergency preparedness. I mean, seeing how engaged our people are in helping each other, that has to be a real selling point for Anderson.
And we use that as a selling point, and I don't think anybody else in the world does that.
Right.
But if you've got a $100 million investment sitting out there, and you know, you'd like to make sure that somebody could be there if something went wrong. We had a bomb threat at Electrolux, okay? You know who they call to come in to bring our bomb dogs? They call us, you know, because we're good like that.
Right.
We don't have to call Washington or Atlanta or Columbia. We go.
Right.
And we can do that. So.
And in addition to the logistics, it says something about the character of a community, the number of volunteers that are jumping in when things, you know, happen. So, I mean, I really think, you know, if I'm from Switzerland and looking at different places, I want to see where are the people going to pull together and help me if I need their help, or where are people just pull together in general?
Okay, one other thing I need to get in here. You know, council voted this year to start to add another litter crew. We always have had one litter crew with county prisoners. Now we have a state prisoner litter crew. So we have two different groups that are traveling around the county cleaning up areas that have been trashed, which I still think it's a sad thing that we have to have two litter crews and three litter officers because we can't keep our own trash in the car.
Yeah.
And that's tax money.
I agree.
So if you do see somebody littering, please do not hesitate to call us because they're costing you money and they're making our county look bad.
Citizens arrest.
Need that. Citizens arrest. Call up Barney. Call up the spirit of Barney, but do something.
Yeah, you can just get a tag number and say I saw
tag
this
number,
person.
We'll take it from there. If you see trash on the side of the road, we'll go out and look in that trash.
Yeah.
And if we find any identifying information,
we'll
go
legacy.
Visit Jimmy Jackson's legacy right there. Man loved to look around and chat trash. Did a real good job.
Well, we'll catch up a little closer, although it's getting closer now. Holidays are almost upon us, but I do know the other thing we'll talk about maybe next time I talk to you is about the whole tree thing, about getting us a good tree in here. And
Yeah, we need a good tree, but do we also need to restore the fountain to its proper place in front of the new courthouse? There's a lot of issues other than just what you're going to do.
That question is a resounding yes. I'm glad we're looking into those things. We do meet Tuesday night at County Council.
Tuesday night.
So I invite all the citizens to continue to come
out. Continue to come out, and we'll be here.
We will.
And everything's going real good today. Hopefully it's not going to rain. It's a little bit cooler, so.
And all our folks are getting ready to come home now.
We're hoping that they'll all be out by Friday.
Okay.
Friday.
And that's good. And the county is still assessing damage in the low parts. So
and we're absolutely assessing damage. I mean, we were on the phone yesterday calling people. If you got anything, you need to let us know so we can turn it in. If we're declared, we need to be able to go.
All right, Rusty, I will catch up with you again soon. I appreciate it.
All right, I appreciate it.
Thanks. There is a lot of appreciation to go around for what's going on in this county and the people who are serving this county. As Rusty mentioned, there's also a lot going on the next few weeks here at the Civic Center, particularly this weekend. In addition to the outdoor Circus Italia, there's more than 250 anglers in town to start fishing starting Sunday with the Bass Anglers Championship out at Green Pine Landing, which continues to bring in national championships. We've become one of the top fishing destinations for tournaments, and this tournament will continue all next week. So you'll see a lot of fishermen, a lot of boats, a lot of fishermen, a lot of boats around town. All the events will be here in Anderson, and the weigh-ins will be here and everything. Of course, in less than 2 weeks, we have the first Bluegrass Bash with some of the nation's top bluegrass bands. If you don't believe it, that list, you can look on their Facebook. You can look on the Anderson Observer. We have that list there. You can look on the Anderson County's website. It's a three-day festival, including, I mean, it's just a who's who the top bluegrass people. I've read it to a couple people, and they were astounded that we put that list together. It's going to have camping and for RVs and place for tents. They're going to have games, youth workshops, jam sessions if people want to come out and play, a Halloween costume contest, and a lot of other events are all set for Halloween weekend. So go ahead and get your tickets now. It's a great deal, and it's a three great days of music. I think it's going to be one of those annual things that kind of helps put us on the map for Halloween weekend. Meanwhile, this weekend, there's something else going on, something a group of very committed gentlemen started a few years ago to help build bonds between fathers and sons and to provide mentors to boys who may not have fathers local or fathers active in their lives. We are talking to Marion Tarrant and Charlie Urban about the Father and Sunday coming up this weekend at the Rec Center. And I don't know who wants to start, but one of you will tell me a little bit about what's going on with that and what we're doing.
All right, sounds great. Really, actually, a father and son event is an opportunity for us to try to, some of the young men we work with, fathers are not in their lives. What we are trying to do is bring that connection, either that unity back. This is our third annual Father and Son event. We've continued because we have heard some positive things from some of the moms that fathers that use this particular day to kind of bond with the son, and it kept going from that. We also did some mentoring in some of the schools here in Anderson, and we found out as we work with a lot of the young boys, that's kind of where the idea came from.
Right.
Work with some of the young boys. One of the most important things in their lives were they thought it would be great if they had their dads in. So we came up with what we thought was a genius of an idea, right, to do a father and son event. And surprisingly, a lot of young men brought their sons to this event, and then we talked with them, and they thought it was a great idea, and we asked that we continue. So that's kind of the avenue in which we are traveling on this.
Right. How many dads and kids you expecting?
Well, actually, we are thinking we're probably talking 75 to 100.
Wow, that's great.
And each year it has grown. I think we've done like everybody else. We kind of use the media, Facebook, and just word of mouth, working with some of the churches. One of the things that we would like for people to know is that when you do events like this, most time people think it's troubled young men that you're working with. But what we're trying to do is reach out across the board and just get men to use this day as a father and son day, just to kind of come up and network with other men, and the young boys can network with each other. So what this does is build a relationship with young men that may never see each other, come across each other paths until they get into high school, like possibly some of them may go to church together. So what we're just trying to build a network of men and young boys that not only from the son, father and son event, that we can do other positive things in the community as well.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is if there are some young men who need some mentors and stuff, they're invited too, right?
Yes, sir. We all young men. Well, we've even asked and have talked with some gentlemen that said, well, you know, my son is now older. He's grown and gone. So we ask him, say, look, if there's a nephew, there's a cousin, there's a neighbor, either there's a young man in your church, bring him. Because I think it's very important for the adults to spend some time with young men. We just think it's kind of hard to get around it. I've always shared with people that I think women do very well with raising young men, but I also think that there's just some things that they aren't able to relate to when men spend time with young men and like ladies spend time with young girls. I tell folks, I cannot teach a young lady how to be a lady, but I can and will teach a young man how to be a man.
We got the whole society, I mean, it doesn't matter where you're talking about, and really it seems to be happening almost all over the world. There seems to be that lack of male bonding and male leadership, and there's some challenges there for all of us, I think. Because I think growing up, you know, we had, if you didn't have a father, you had a coach or you had an uncle or you had somebody, and that seems to be missing now in a lot of people's lives, that extended family, even at church even.
Yeah. Well, you know, in church, you always see more women than you see men, and they're doing a lot of the leadership roles now being taken by women, whereas it's our duty to be the leader, you know. But we're letting ourselves down and letting these young fellas down that's looking at us. So they need to see an example, you know, preferably the father. But if not the father, need to be some male figure. So that's why we're going this way, letting whoever, you know, that has a desire to bring a child, bring them. Bring a male with you.
And Greg, one thing I love to share with what Ms. Irvin just said, and not only is that needed in Anderson, it is needed throughout this country.
Absolutely.
If you look at the jails, most of them are populated by males. So that means there's an absentee dad in the home. And so what we are just trying to, maybe in some small way, maybe to us, but it's a big way to that young man that don't have anybody, especially a male role model in his life, just to have some male in the community that cares about him. It makes a big difference when that man maybe later on can become a big brother and can develop a relationship from this Saturday that could last for the rest of his life. I've seen a lot of time just introducing a young man to a positive male, how it gives him hope, how it gives him some stability in his life, and it gives him a friend. And so we want to make sure that we don't miss this opportunity.
Right. Mm-hmm. I like what y'all are saying, because I do think it's that seeing it and not being told about it or told what to do, or they see grown men who are doing well and having fun and think, you know, that's kind of where I want to go. It's a really good thing. And that's one of the things we've been doing since we started is anybody doing anything to try to make Anderson better, man, we want to engage with that, because I think if we all keep, you said that's just one thing, but that – if everybody does one thing, those pieces of the puzzle are going to start coming together. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's going to be good for all. It starts at 11, right? 11 to 3.
Yeah, 11 to 3. And one other thing I love to put some emphasis on too, Greg, is that a lot of times when adults and young men are working together, they love to say, you know, it's really nice what y'all are doing for those young men, but what those young men have done, are doing for us is amazing, because what it does, it puts us in accountability, because now we feel great because there's somebody that is depending on us. There's somebody that's looking at us. And if we can set the example, then those young men can kind of come in and build from that, almost like the Father Clement story, each one teach one. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we want to happen here on this weekend, is not so much about us, ourselves, but just what comes out of this. That's what we're looking for.
Well, and you gentlemen have experienced this, but you, in the great scheme of things, you get more out of serving. I mean, that's, Jesus' economy does not, they don't see that in the world, because it makes no sense to say you get your life by giving it away. Mm-hmm. You tell somebody, say, that makes no sense at all. Yes. But you start talking to people, and I do a lot of work with addicts and stuff, and you ask them, what makes you feel best? It's doing something for somebody else.
That's true.
I mean, when I do something for somebody else, especially somebody who can't give me anything tangible, I walk away from that just resonating, just humming, you know. Yes. And that's because that part of us is built to do that. Yes. So, and the kids see that, and they also, I think, seeing people giving of their time and serving. Mm-hmm. They realize, why won't somebody do this? Why won't they take a Saturday and come out here, and, you know? And then, like you're saying, as the years go by, yes. you catch that next generation. And also, y'all pass this event to the next generation.
That is so true. And that's our hope, because we do realize that we're getting older. Mm-hmm. And life-wise, we could be here. But mobility is getting limited. It's getting limited. And what makes us so happy, certainly we want guys like us to come, but seeing those young dads, 30 and 40 years old, to already have taken enough interest in their sons, and also maybe saying, well, maybe I just need a little more tweaking. So if I kind of go up here and see what these guys are doing, and to pass this on to them, it is a relay of sort. Mm-hmm. And when your time is up, we want to be able to pass that torch, and not only into a hand, but prepared hands.
Right.
We want those young men, and we want some of them to even become part of Men at Work, mm-hmm. So they can continue this put on after we were gone. I was given a cup one time by a coworker. And it said that, you know, in 100 years from now, nobody will never know the house you lived in, the car you drove, your bank account. But they will know about you because of the life mm-hmm. that you put into those that come after you, that were taught about you long after you're gone. And so that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that we just be a sport in a wheel for these kids to have a good life. Mm-hmm. They deserve it.
Well, let's remind everybody of the events coming up. I've done a story, I think you've got it on your thing there, the different things mm-hmm. you're all going to be doing.
Okay.
At the event on Saturday from 11 to 3, Saturday at the Rec Center, and here's some mm-hmm. of the events.
Well, some of the events we'll have is the egg walk. Most of the events are kind of low-key, low-energy, that dads and sons can interact together. We will have an egg walk. We will have a sack race. We'll have a tug of war. Also, we'll have a motivational speaker, someone that will come in and interject some suggestions, some ideas into the lives of the dads as well as the son. We'll also have a football toss. That'll be an event we think the dad and son will really enjoy. What we will do, we will let a dad throw a football the length. Well, not the length of the field, but he'll throw it as far as he can.
Right.
And the son also. And what we would do, it was take both of their distances and add up. And at the end of that particular event, the dad and son that throws the father, we would try to give them some type of reward and kind of gives them something to talk about until next year. Also, we will have a basketball event, and most of it will be tied around free throws. Again, something low-key where dad and son come in and maybe shoot 5 shots, and if he makes a number out of that, and so does his son, we kind of add those up. And what we try to do is look at events that wouldn't be so competitive, but it just wouldn't limit a lot of people from participating, because I think a young man, even if the gentleman is not a dad, but a young man and his mentor would just enjoy doing some things like that. And certainly we're going to feed them. And this whole event is free. We've been, you know, fortunate enough to work with Anderson University, City of Anderson Parks and Recreation, Anderson Housing Authority, as well as Men at Work. And everybody that has been on board. And then there's other individuals that has been a great supporter of this. Councilman Floyd, Mrs. Grace Floyd, she certainly have been instrumental in this. I think she's probably the only woman that Men at Work has actually considered as an honorary member.
Oh, okay.
most of this is just all men. Because as Mr. Irvin said, we thought we ought to take that lead role in this, but she's been so helpful and so supported till we just decided to make the first one an honorary member.
Well, tell me about Men at Work, because we didn't talk too much about.
Okay. Men at Work actually is a outreach ministry that started in 97. Kind of lay dormant that first year, just doing a need assessment, trying to see where we could fit in and be effective. We didn't want to come in and duplicate some of the other services that was being taking place. And after that year, we kind of thought that there was two areas, the youth and the seniors, that we thought we could really, not that they were being left out or overlooked, but we just thought that we could make a big impact there. So we started out there for a number of years. I think we're getting into our 21st year of existence. And what we also did, what was one of our focus too, we chose men from different churches because we thought if we could show throughout this area churches working together, if just the few men that we had could make the impact we made, and we just felt that certainly if some of the other churches came together more in numbers, they can make a greater impact. And we've saw some certainly success on that. And most of our men have been committed from day one. They saw the same need we did. And we was able to go into the schools and do some mentoring. That helped us build a relationship with other young men that we probably wouldn't have came in contact with if we didn't have the mentoring program. We have been able to take the young men on several educational and recreational trips. We took them to Washington, D.C. While we was there, we was provided by a group of ladies in that city to go see a professional basketball game, which was very rewarding. And we also have taken them to professional football, basketball games. We've took them to museums. We've taken them to zoos. We've taken them on college tours. And what we try to do is, as often as we can, make sure they get some exposure, because that's another concern that we had, because we had a lot of young men that weren't able financially to go to some of these places on their own. And just by us coming together and working with other people, groups, individuals, we've been able to expose them to a lot of educational, recreational activities that normally they wouldn't have gotten that chance to. I think that we again want to make sure that people do understand that this group is just, don't target the underprivileged. Any young man that we can work with, and we've even had young men that have come through this program, have went on to college and done very well. Young man that's getting married this weekend came through the program, and now he's a veterinarian. Actually, Charlie's nephew, nephew, he's getting married this weekend that we're very proud of. Sean Ellis, another young man that came through the program, went on to play ball and with the Jets, and he has also helped us go on several trips. So we've also had some young men that came through the program that made some bad choices. But we also support them as well, because we never turn our back on a young man regardless of the challenges or the experiences that he have in life. That's what we're here for, to help everybody. Every young man that come through this program, he's in it for life. That's what we always tell him. It doesn't matter, you know, some of the challenges that you meet in life, be they good or bad, you can always come back to Men at Work, and whatever we can do to help you, we will.
Well, I appreciate all you guys are doing for the community. You gentlemen are, you know, making a difference. That's why we're here. And remind everybody, Saturday from 11 to 3 at the Rec Center. No charge. You come eat, have fun, bring your son. If your son's off at college, come volunteer and help somebody else.
There's a young man that needs you.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am really impressed with these gentlemen and the work they do, Men at Work, and Ways That Matter. These guys are a huge reason Anderson is such a great place to live and will be for generations to come. We got another event just over the horizon I want to get in real quick. It's October 24th. It's Home in the Park. It's a Homeland Park Festival, a family-friendly event to feature games and food and exhibits and other things she's going to show off over there, as the county's going to show off as part of the Homeland Park Community Festival. One of the main organizers of that event is Anderson County Councilwoman Gracie Floyd, and she had this to say about it. All right, I'm talking to Anderson County Councilman Gracie Floyd, and we're going to talk a little bit about Home in the Park. It's the Homeland Park Festival. It's coming up a week from Saturday. And what can you tell me about that?
Well, I can tell you a lot about it because I am so excited about it. The whole idea is to get people together in Homeland Park and show it off. Homeland Park is a beautiful area of our county that has not received much attention. And what I did was we talked to some of the residents who live in District 5, that's Councilman Tommy Dunn's district, as well as my district. And we decided that we wanted to work together to do this. Each one of us had different missions. The District 5 folks wanted to do this to bring the county together, to bring the district together. And I thought that was a wonderful idea. Doreen Montepara, who is the chairman of the District 2 Homeland Park Committee, wanted to do this to help people realize that the area could be more beautiful than it is if we would all just try to keep it clean and keep it up. The Chief Woods, who is the fire chief in that area, wanted to do this because he wanted to instill safety in the community, because we have a lot of situations where people are burning constantly during the fall, and he wanted to try to come up with ideas that would curtail some of that burning. I wanted to do it because Homeland Park, the mass of it is in my area, and I wanted it to be known throughout of Anderson County. I wanted to kind of like bring it into the county so people can come down and see us and respect us and see our place. So we all have different goals, but we have one mission. The mission is to get the people together. So this is what we've been doing. It's going to be held October the 24th.
Right, it's a week from Saturday.
Yes, we have a lot of activities going on. We're going to have things that people can use, information especially. And we're going to have things for the children to do. Something I have always wanted to do is to crawl into one of those big 18-wheelers at the front of it and see what's all in there. So I thought the children would like that too. So I am actively looking for a big 18-wheeler to bring down there.
All right. What other kind of activities are? It's going to be at the fire department.
It's going to be in the area of the fire department.
Right around the fire department. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the headquarters for the event, right?
Uh-huh. We're going to have the EMS folks will be there. Holt Hopkins, who is our transportation director, is going to bring some of his big trucks down there so the kids can see it. We're going to have games that the children can play. We're going to have raffles. We're going to have drawings. And the most important thing, we're going to have a fish fry.
I was going to say, I had to have food. I was waiting for the food.
We're going to have a fish fry. Also, we're going to have hot dogs and hamburgers for those who can't eat the fish or just don't like fish.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, well, that sounds good. And mm-hmm. Is this the first time you've done this festival? I don't think we've had not like this before.
Well, yes, we've had several festivals at Homeland Park. Around this.
But I mean like this one you're doing here, this is sort of the...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let me tell you a few of them. We used to have, on Halloween, we would have the Halloween parade.
Right.
We were fighting gangs in that area. And the children and the adults would come out and dress up, and we would march from the Wellington Park up to the fire station. And our theme was, we were going to scare the heck out of crime. Okay. And that went on for about 3 years.
Okay.
And then we have a cleanup festival, or a cleanup day every year. The first couple of years, it was fantastic. People came from other communities to help us clean it up. We want to bring that back. We want to get the interest back in it. But, you know, I guess you're right, Greg. I think this could be the biggest one we've ever had.
Okay. Well, that's great. And it's the 24th, week from Saturday. What's the times again?
We're going to start at 9 o'clock, and we're going to go to 2.
Okay.
We will be doing lunch around 2 o'clock. So there's going to be a lot to do. Everything is complimentary. It means it's free.
Great.
Yeah. So
it'll be free.
Yeah. So we'd like for you to come out too. I think you would enjoy.
If I can, I've got some other shoots, but you know that's the week before Halloween, so people won't be as busy. They'll have a chance to, if they're looking for something to do that Saturday. Right now, I looked at the forecast, looking good right now.
Oh, so good. Thank you.
So I hope everybody can get out for that, and if they have any questions, they can just contact you.
And Clemson is not playing either.
That's right.
Yeah. That's good. Right, so. I'm excited about it.
Well, I appreciate it, Ms. Floyd. Nice to talk to you.
It's good talking to you as well.
That same weekend, I wanted to mention is the annual Grace Episcopal Holy Smokes Barbecue. It's the annual benefit for AIM. It's set from 5 to 8 p.m. At the Anderson County Farmers Market. If you hadn't been out there, if you hadn't had Holy Smokes Barbecue, they only do it once a year, so you get another chance this year. 100% of the proceeds go to AIM. This is not one of those where percentage. All the money raised here goes directly to Anderson Interfaith Ministries, which is now AIM. Just AIM. Everybody's going to get used to that. But it's still the same great organization, same great ministry. We had their Hats Off luncheon recently, and it went really well. And they're another one of those places that over the last 25 years have made a major difference in the way people in Anderson look out for their fellow citizens and neighbors in need. In fact, this is the 25th anniversary, and they're getting ready for a huge anniversary gala. It's also a big fundraiser on November 14th. And I talked to Christy King Brock, who founded the organization a quarter century ago. And she gave us an update on what's coming up for the Christmas season and on the 25th anniversary gala.
We're talking about the 25th anniversary of AIM coming
Yay.
Up. And it's, what, about 6 weeks now or something, or
it's
8 weeks or something?
Oh, it's not that far. Yeah.
25 years. Now, tell us about the event.
Okay. The event is going to be a night of reflection, of great food, great music, just a fun time reflecting on the 25 years of giving hope and changing lives in Anderson. In a different way of telling the stories, there'll be storyboards, there'll be videos, there'll be a whole array of ways in which we display stories of not just clients that have been impacted, but volunteers and donors. And so it's going to be a great event.
Right. So they're going to be people that are talking personally about how AIM has changed their lives and affected their lives.
Yes.
And so where is it going to be?
It's going to be at the Hilton Garden Inn.
Give us a date. Give us all the logistics.
Okay. November 14th. Okay. Starts at 7 o'clock. Hilton Garden Inn. The band is the Back Nine. And they play for Mardi Gras, Meals on Wheels' event. So a lot of people are familiar with them. Great horn section. Appeals to a lot of different people. Top 40 and beach music and all the fun stuff to dance to. We're going to have
good food, great food,
and Ann Thayer and Ty Davidson are going to be co-masters of ceremony. And for those of you who know Ty, just be prepared to laugh a lot, so it should be a lot of fun.
Right, and tickets are available now.
Tickets are available for individuals now. It's $200 a couple, and there'll be a commemorative book available. I'm just so excited. I can't believe it's been 25 years. I had to sit down and write my letter for the program yesterday, and wow, you talk about tough.
Do you remember the first anniversary?
I don't.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't.
In one sense, it's like a blink of the eye. In the other sense, it's like a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, just sitting there, and I actually went through pictures yesterday, and just the memories that come back to you, and the lives that have been touched, not just our clients that we've served, but people that have been AARP workers who didn't know Christ and came to know Christ through their work here at AIM. Volunteers who had put spouses in the nursing home because of Alzheimer's and had become so depressed they didn't want to continue living. And this was the reason for them to keep going. I mean, it's just, you know, I think about how my life has been changed and impacted by Willie Shaw and Nancy Henderson and Buck Buchanan. And, you know, the list goes on and on. Bobby Gaines, of my former board members and staff who were just the most selfless, giving, loving, kind people allow God to use them through their work here at AIM.
And that's a good point, is the volunteers, people think about services provided, but it changes the community in a sense because it changes the hearts of volunteers, and they become not just more open to AIM, but more open to everything else in the community.
And one of the coolest things...
How many volunteers do you have, Christy?
We have over 500 active volunteers. And one of the coolest things is to see somebody who came in as a client, and now they volunteer, and they donate money to us. So they give of their time and their treasures. But at one point, they came here in need of our services. And, you know, Perry Noble's story is going to be featured at our event. And he's very open about
he and his dad and the struggles they were having.
Absolutely. And, you know, you think about somebody like a Perry Noble who, you know, touches the lives of 8,000 to 10,000 people, probably more than that, but at least 10,000 people every Sunday. And so it brings it home that anybody, any of us, there by the grace of God, any of us could need the services at AIM.
Right. And you've had people like come through and then come back and end up on staff and stuff too as well.
Absolutely. We've had a number of staff members that were participants in our Women and Children Succeeding program. Right. Currently have one staff member that is a graduate of that program. And now we have 27 women in the Women and Children Succeeding program now, and I think 7 of the mentors are graduates of the program. So that's that paying it forward.
So 25 years ago, basically the Churches of Anderson got together and said, we need a collaborative effort to try to serve the folks in need in our community. And so AIM was sort of was the phoenix that came out of that.
Yes.
And giving has, I know, gone down. We've talked about that and challenging people that. But let's just do a quick reminder of how many people are served and what all y'all do, because people forget all things. People still think about, I think people understand a few little things. I'll just let you kind of.
They don't understand the continuum and the fact that there's so many different things that happen here every day, ministering to people in different ways. In our food pantry alone, each month we're serving between 850 and 900. That doesn't take into consideration the Manna Food Ministry, which we had this past Saturday and averaged over 200. Then in emergency assistance, we see probably about 100 a month or more, 100 plus in the emergency assistance. Right now we're serving 12 in our rapid rehousing program, 27 in our Women and Children Succeeding. If you look at the calendar, the training schedule for the training center, there's something going on almost every day in that training center. So we probably touch at least 100 plus people every month in the training center. So when you add all that up, we're probably touching 1,200 plus people every month through the works that we're doing.
And a lot of those people are being referred here by churches and stuff still, right?
Absolutely. And that's one of my goals, Greg, and we've talked about this a lot, is to go back to our roots and to go back to the churches and say, you created us as a vehicle through which you could minister to hurting people in the community. We need you. And right. We need you to not just send money, which we need you to do that, but we need you to send your people. We need you to keep connected with us, keep our needs in front of your congregations, and connect your people with our work here so that we can be the hands and feet of Christ that we were created to be.
Average cost of the services to a person referred is?
About $250.
Yeah. So,
per person. So, and that really doesn't take into consideration like the Women and Children Succeeding right. program, which is much, much more than that.
Right. So just in your budget, keep a little tally how many people we're referring and how much we're giving and try to keep that in. Another thing I don't think a lot of people know that y'all saved the county a lot of money on the housing side.
Yes.
By partnering with the county on housing, since they didn't have a housing officer for the county, that AIM's sort of taking on that role.
Yeah, in fact, we have somebody from State Housing coming in today to do 3 inspections. We just completed one OOR, which is where we did the $20,000 rehab for an eligible homeowner. And we finished 2 ERs, emergency rehabs, which was $7,500 for repairs for these folks. So really does create a lot of economic impact, if you will, because right. You think about it, if these folks are displaced and end up in a nursing home because their house is substandard and it becomes condemned, we're all going to pay for that.
Right. And also, just not to mention the other, like building ramps for people who just otherwise would be homebound. They couldn't get in and out of their homes.
Absolutely.
I've got a team of volunteers that go out. And
you know, a lot of times they will not release them from Health South or some of these rehab hospitals until they get a ramp, because they know it's a fire hazard for them to go home and not be able to get in and out of the house.
Right. So there's so many things. We're even forgetting things, I know. I
mean, the wood ministry, for goodness sakes. You know, you think about it, and I tell people the storms, they're horrible, But God can take bad and turn it into good, because Duke Energy brings that wood to us. And we have a bunch of brotherhood groups come up any Saturday year-round. They're out there cutting, chopping, splitting wood that people will use to heat their homes this winter.
Well, I don't want to take too much away from the big event coming up, because that is, again, November?
November 14th, right. Hilton Garden Inn. You can purchase tickets online. We do have...
aimcharity.org.
aimcharity.org.
Or your Facebook page will tell you how to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. You can actually hit a button on our Facebook page to donate now. We're getting a little more sophisticated. But also, has to be to the printer by the 15th, so we only have a couple of days. But we are still doing ads for our program booklet. So if you go to church with somebody that's been a real fixture here at AIM, a volunteer or a staff person, or you want to do something for your church, go to your minister and say, I'd like to put an ad in their program booklet to recognize somebody from your church that volunteers here.
Right, and if you don't get this in time to hear all that, if you want to give like a massive amount of money, they'll put stickers on all the programs.
Absolutely, we'll figure out a way.
What I said, I don't want to take too much away from it, but I do want to remind everybody, because it will be past us. We'll talk again closer to the time, but y'all have already got families for Christmas lined up, I'm guessing?
Yes.
So if somebody in your church or home group or civic group or any, just your, you know, book club or whatever is looking for a family to take care of, they can already come down and sign up and get a head start on shopping. And
they can do that online too. They should be able to go online. And Amy Hoyes is heading that up. She's my community engagement person. She has a volunteer that is actually over the Christmas program, but she's the staff contact for that.
Okay. Well, we're, 75 days out or some kind of?
I saw something that said we're 10 Fridays away. That's scary.
It is. It is almost Christmas. Well, I hope people will, get out to the big event, and we'll tell people about it. And I know y'all will probably... take a lot of pictures and a lot of video.
Absolutely. And you know, one more quick thing, trick or treat so others can eat.
Oh, yeah,
up.
That's time. It's here on.
Yeah, it's here. The bags will go out probably next week because I think they're planning on picking them up the week before Halloween this year.
Right.
So if you get a bag in your neighborhood, there'll be instructions on there. Still looking for a couple of volunteer teams. Cobbs Glen actually is not spoken for this year, because typically Anderson University, the Enactus group, took that, and their national focus area is not hunger this year, so they're not going to be able to do that. So we're actually looking for a team or two that might be interested in taking on Cobbs Glen and taking bags out for that.
And again, the best way is to go online.
Yes.
And give you all the information and everything. Mm-hmm. Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you, Greg.
25 years.
Wow.
And hope we're here for the next 25.
I won't be in this capacity.
No. Well, hey, you never say never. Well, that, and we'll get back together before Christmas and talk about that. But it is almost Halloween, so you got so much going on. Again, so many things going on.
Absolutely.
That it's hard for us to keep straight, so I know it's hard for other people to keep straight. But I know that y'all still need donations, still need food, still need money.
Yeah, and if people want to buy a turkey for Thanksgiving, we, of course, will be happy to accept that,
and
too.
And that's much closer than even 10 Fridays. So, yeah, thanks. Yeah. All right, thanks, Kristen.
Thank you.
So it is time for Trick or Treat so others can eat. Can you help with that? Anybody in Cobbs Glen that might be listening to this podcast, they're looking for somebody to organize that neighborhood this year. So you can support AIM by visiting their Facebook page. Go to aimcharity.org or by dropping donations off at their offices on Murray Avenue. If you have a group looking for a family to help this Christmas, now is the time, since Christmas is less than 10 weeks away. Of course, that means that Thanksgiving, another great time of need for donations of food and money across our community, is only 42 days from today. Turkeys, canned goods, hams, dry goods are all in short supply, not only at AIM, but at the Haven of Rest, Good Neighbor Cupboard, and our other food banks. Meals on Wheels in Anderson is also still in dire need of drivers and for money to buy the commercial-sized food containers they need for their great work. It's very difficult for them with the quantity and the size of meals they have to prepare and deliver every day to work with small cans and small. They work with the larger, so they need those kind of things. I want to continue to remind everybody that power of that $1 in our community. If 50% of the citizens of Anderson County would donate $1 per month to one of these local charities, it would generate well over $1 million per year toward helping our neighbors. I'll be talking a lot more about this One Local Dollar campaign in the weeks to come. That's One Local Dollar. But now's the time to start giving. We're heading into the holidays, which is the time that most people get generous, but it's also the time of the greatest need. So since the holidays are closing in, I wanted to comment about one more thing quickly. We'll talk more about this again next week. I want to talk about the recent Anderson County Christmas tree proposal, which has been the target of a lot of misinformation and ridicule and
things just not people are not understanding. At first blush, a $40,000 35-foot artificial Christmas tree for the county may sound like an expensive way to celebrate the season, but the facts indicate just the opposite. And let's look a little bit at why that's true. First, the idea of replanting a tree in front of the courthouse is just not going to work. We've tried that twice and failed, to the tunes of thousands and thousands of dollars being spent not only to do that, but an attempt to save the two trees which got sick and died on that property. It also blocked the view of the courthouse to boot, which a lot of people really did not want to do and don't want to do again. The second option, people talked about bringing in a live tree big enough for county celebrations every year. That would be exceptionally expensive. A minimum of a 25-foot tall tree would be needed for the kind of things that we do with our annual tree lighting and other downtown Christmas events. Average cost of that is around $1,500 plus around $2,000 to bring it in and set it up, and another $1,000 to $1,500 to take it down and get rid of it afterwards. In addition to that, you've got at least two people and possibly three working 40 hours a week for 10 days to do the setup, the decorations and setup and the lights, and then they didn't take quite as much time to take it down, but it's a tremendous number of man hours. And of course, that would add up with three people at even $10 an hour to another $10,000 plus. So you're looking at just bringing in a tree, setting up and taking it down, as it costs in the county close to $4,000 to $5,000 a year. The artificial tree that was proposed a couple of weeks ago has a killer warranty, like 20 years. They've talked to other municipalities and counties which have purchased trees from this company. They're really loyal to their warranties and good to get it done. And the cost to set up, assemble, lights, ornaments, and all for this tree would be less than one day. So right away, you're saving the amount of money it would cost three employees to deal with the thing. You're cutting that down to one day, take it up, less than a day to take it down. It's faster. It comes in sections. They'll replace any of the sections that are damaged or that don't work right for 20 years. So over a period of years, instead of the county spending, let's take 20 years. In 20 years, if we bought a 25-foot live tree under the current cost and conditions, we're looking at a minimum of $95,000 to $100,000, whereas the artificial tree, the one-time purchase of $40,000 plus an additional maybe $1,000 a year would put us under $60,000 for a 20-year investment on a tree that not only could we use year after year, it would be safer, but we could also relocate it anytime we wanted. We could set it up anywhere the county needed to set it up for Christmas. We could change it up every year. There's just too many advantages. I hope people will look past the sort of rhetoric of, oh, that costs too much, to figure it out over 20 years what something costs. And on that penny-wise and dollar-foolish note, we're going to end the Anderson Observer podcast, News from People You Trust, for October 14th, 2015. I want to thank our sponsors, Sullivan's at Brookstone. Sullivan's at Brookstone, where you can get all the same great Sullivan foods without fighting downtown traffic. And also, you can get Sunday lunch, something you cannot get downtown. They're open Wednesday through Sunday for lunch, Thursday through Saturday for dinner, and they also have some menu items out at Sullivan's at Brookstone that you cannot get downtown. But if you can't wait till Wednesday, you can always go downtown Monday or Tuesday for Sullivan's. Also by the Tom Dunaway Law Firm. They've been serving Anderson for more than 30 years, and they make all their clients feel like a member of the family. See how they can help you? Call them today, 224-1144. They have sure helped me. It's a great law firm. That's the Tom Dunaway Law Firm right here in Anderson. Hope you'll join us next week on the Anderson Observer podcast, News from People You Trust. Until then, get out and do something to make Anderson a better place.